such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody in view, and I always add, I thank you. I've added that.
We have to be thankful.
Grateful. And I beg pardon thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love thee, and do not thank thee. And that's how the angel prepared the children for the apparitions. By the way, tomorrow is the 13th of October, isn't it?
It is.
It is. So we'll have to talk about the apparition or the miracle.
The miracle of the sun. Yes.
So they begin that, and then they have this the 5 minutes of silence. And, but before that, I explained to them. The upper grades have actually done this, because I sent this to the teachers before, and they've already done it, but this is my formal preparation, preparing them, what happens in adoration, that explain to them that they understand that Jesus is in, this is the consecrated host, the blessed sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. And so that's, I use the words of St. Therese, who, when somebody says, how do you pray? And she says, I let the Lord love me. And so, it's just like you let God love you and you love him in return. And just speak from your heart, from the silence of your heart. Or as Jesus said, go into your inner chamber, shut the door, be still. Or it's from Scripture, be still, know that I am God. But you needn't say anything. Your Father already knows everything. So just to give them that time in silence before the Blessed Sacrament. Because we know from experience, it's always been our belief that there's just the power of God that emanates.
And it's so transforming.
It's so transforming. Oh, you just took the word right out of my head. It's so transformative.
Yes. And what did Jesus say? Let the children come to me.
Let the children come to me, right. And so they, and especially with the little ones, with all of them, reminding them that Jesus, after the Last Supper, he said, I'm going to my Father and your Father to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be. And then I will remain with you, God with us, Emmanuel. And I asked the kids, the little ones, I said, okay, so how old are you right now? And they said, 7 years old. Okay, so how old were you 2 years ago? He says, 5 years old. Okay, how old are you going to be 10 years from now? 17 years old. So I said, okay, where were you 25 years ago? and they point up, I said, okay, yes, you were in the mind and the heart of God. Where are you going to be 100 years from now? Just to put in perspective the fact that, we're on a journey. You're never going to be five again. You're 7 years old now. You're never, ever going to be 5 years mm-hmm. old again. And before you blink your eyes, you're going to be 20, right, or 17 or whatever. But just to get this idea that we're on the journey, we're pilgrims on the way, sure. And that we
and we belong to Him.
We belong to him, created by God for God. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The emphasis, really, to emphasize for them that God created you. He created you. He brought you out of nothing into something, into someone, in His beauty and goodness and His image and likeness. He's the artist. You're the work of His hands, and so to really bring them to understand that, but also. We learn to let the Lord speak to us and say, okay, He focuses on who He created, but also He sees the rough edges as well. And if you're not behaving in school, or you're not paying attention to the teacher, you're fighting with your
brother,
friends,
sisters,
or whatever, you're at home, the Lord wants to correct this. I want you to do a little bit better.
This feels like when I was in school. This is.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
you just never put it into practice.
Good times.
I was the one that had good times. I was the only one that they were telling, hey, you know, you can't be like this.
Did they call you Roy or did they call you Tony?
They call me Tony.
Tony.
Nobody calls me Roy.
Only father calls me Roy.
Only father right. calls me Roy.
Never knew that. All these years I've known Tony and I never knew that he had this middle name Roy.
But technically, it's not my middle name. It's well, Paul.
We won't go back.
Yeah.
To that. You gave that to yourself.
Yes, I did.
So after they have the silence and they pray for mm-hmm. the conversion of sinners, for peace in the world, and asking Our Lady to send students into the school. I think we
sure.
did this just the other day. I think we did this. We were talking about this, but we did it for the first time yesterday. I had all right. the students at different times in the church, and they just pray one decade of the rosary and then silence again, and then we pray that for those who do not know God and for those who reject God, for the sick and the suffering, those who are dying right now. We prayed for the peace in the world and for
yes.
those who are suffering in Israel and for our family and friends and for the school and the parish. And then they pray one decade of the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, and then again 5 minutes of silence, and then the divine praises. And then that's it. And
I think it's so important, Father, yeah. because a child's prayer, it's so powerful because they're innocent, the children,
yeah.
the innocents, and for them to pray for right now what's going on in Israel, for peace in the world, it's so important.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They learn the importance of prayer and the reality of God present mm-hmm. to us in the Holy Eucharist, you know, because mm-hmm. once you... Yeah, like they say, the scripture says, when you taste and see the goodness of God, nothing else will suffice. You know, it's a mystery because it's not the momentary pleasures of this life, but it's the consolation in knowing that God is with us, that really Emmanuel, God with us, God really is with us. And I know for myself, and it's indispensable. Part of my prayer is to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. And somebody mentioned to me as well that the children will probably get more out of adoration than they do out of the Mass. And
there's a
certain truth to that because the Mass is the highest act of prayer,
sure.
and adoration is really an extension of the Mass.
The Mass.
And will bring them to understand more deeply
mm-hmm.
the meaning of the Mass. It's just that with the Mass, you know, it's... Well, I do think because you allow that silence, you know, though we have silence in the Mass as well, this is, there's just something.
It's very mystical.
Not
that the Mass is not mystical.
No, exactly. The Mass is a communal
yeah.
Prayer. Even if the priest is alone celebrating the Mass, you know, some will argue this, but if I'm celebrating it's never
sure.
a private Mass because even if there's nobody there, I'm conscious. Mm-hmm. as we understand, you know, that one spectator, God the Father, the principal protagonist
mm-hmm.
or the character
yes.
is Jesus Christ, and then there's the church in the battle, the church militant in the fight, in the spiritual battle, making its way through this life, and the church triumphant. The Blessed Virgin Mary, the angels and saints, all present in the celebration of the Holy Mass, which is not just a prefiguration because it's a reality, but will fully be understood and realized in the beatific vision, right? I love that in the Book of Revelation when, and I bring it up so often, but I just find it so beautiful when there's the... that when John has that mystical experience where he's taken into mm-hmm. heaven, and he sees this multitude from every tribe and race and nation and tongue, language and all this multitude representing the Catholicity, the universality of the mystical body, and they're all centered around the throne of the Lamb, and they're giving praise to God. And and there's the four elders, and one of them says to John, "Who are these people, and where have they come from?" And I love John's response. "Well, sir, you know better than I. I don't know. You know better than
mm-hmm.
I." And he said, "Yes." He said, "These are the ones who suffered or who endured the time of trial and tribulation, the time of distress, the time of persecution, they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's very beautiful because which means what? But that and it means two things. Number one, many of them were martyred, literally went to their death rather than deny Jesus, but also that they participated in the Messianic hour perpetuated in the Holy Mass, because at Mass we're mystically being washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And it's and so they, you know, they survived the time of trial and tribulation, the time of distress, the time of persecution, for having been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If we could just bring people to understand the necessity and the great privilege and blessing we have to have Christ present among us, with us, in the Holy Eucharist, and that our participation in this sacred mystery is the offering of our lives, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. I keep driving that home. I know I repeat it all the time because that's active participation in the Mass. It's not that everybody's got to do something different. There's got to be a lot of movement. No, there's got to be the less movement, the better. We have to be focused and we have to listen, yes, to the Word of God, be reminded who God is, who we are, what our responsibilities are, and then renew our fiat, our covenant, in the offering of our lives on the altar of sacrifice, so that we can then have communion with God, you know, Jesus, through Jesus to the Father, and the Father then allows us the great privilege or the blessing, the grace to partake in the Holy Sacrament, to be fed with the body, the blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, so that we not collapse as we go on our way, and that Jesus reproduce his life in us, that we begin to think as he thinks, we begin to see with his eyes, speak his words in his voice, you know, even though we have different voices, but there's a certain tone, and it's not always soft, you know, the guy. Although I had to make mention, did you hear at the Mass the other night? You were at that Mass.
Yes,
I want to talk about that as well. We had the interview with the New York Times. Oh. I don't know if I mentioned that on Tuesday when we were on the radio.
Yes, but you did mention. Yes. Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about that too, because I really felt, I don't know what, if there's going to be an article, I don't know what they're going to say. It could be one sentence. I spent an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 45 minutes. And I felt really the power of God's Spirit. I really felt very, very comfortable, and she was very, very kind. And I was so happy, you know, when we went to Mass and there were so many people.
It was a nice crowd.
It was
crowd, yeah.
What a beautiful, and the responses. Did you hear how the people responded to the prayer so beautifully?
Yes.
But I could say to her, and I really, really was, the homily was directed to her, and I said, her name is Ruth, and I said,
hey, Ruth.
I said, these are, this is the Anawim.
The Anawim.
And these are, and they're not rigid, they're not demented, they're not backward, they're not hiding some kind of a sickness, you know, to use the words of the Holy Father, who, and I said, you know, I told her, it's just his words alienate people because we love tradition. We love our Catholic faith. We love our dogmas and our doctrines. And so when he speaks about that, with that kind of rhetoric, it's, and I always, you know, referred to him as the Holy Father. I didn't call him Bergoglio or Pope Francis. I said, the Holy Father. It's just what happens, and especially with the Hispanic people, because they have, because they revere, not revere is probably not the right word, but they hold Father in high esteem. And we're not, you know, of course, there's machismo and all that, that people have been affected in an adverse way. But when it comes to the church, They're taught, you know, that the Father is, yeah, you know, the Holy Father. They, like somebody told me once when I came to St. Stanislaus, they said, you know, when you go to a parish and you've got the Anglos or the Caucasian, the quote-unquote Americans, because, you know, we're a mixture of all kinds of people, but you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That you almost have to gain their respect. When you go to the Latino, if you go to, you know, because it's coming into the Latino, Hispanic, 85% Hispanic parish, they automatically receive you as Father. And, in a good sense, you know. And so when they hold the Holy Father in high esteem, and, you know, they look to him for leadership and guidance and that paternal, that fatherly love, and yet, you know, some of that rhetoric, it's painful, and it alienates. And I hear this from people all the time. It's because they ask me, well, what the, you know, because he's talking to me. So and I think this is where there needs to be some clarification. I think, you know, we have to it's not to besmirch anybody or mm-hmm. certainly not the Holy Father, but just, you know, clarify, what do you mean? Who are you talking to? Because certainly when he says that, I feel like he's speaking to me. Because she even asked me, are you a traditionalist? And I said, well, I love tradition. I'm a traditional Catholic, Orthodox Catholic. The dogmas and the doctrines are important because they speak to who God is and who we are in relation to God. And so they're extremely important to us. And but
you know,
anyway.
Father, mm-hmm. the other night it was beautiful to see and for her to see. There was a mixture. There were families, a lot right. of families with their children. There were a lot of Hispanics, mm-hmm. different ethnic groups were there, different mixture.
Completely.
Young and old.
The Catholicity the yes. church was representing. African-American, yes. African, yep. Hispanic, Asian, white, old people, young yep. people, mm-hmm. men, women, families, like you said. It was just a really a very powerful.
Yes.
thing. And then they saw the people in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament mm-hmm. before, and even and then of course they saw the confessions
because there was a huge line of the, yeah. the confessional.
And I had to go back to the confession, so they were able to see that as well. But I had to tell the people at the end of the Mass, you know, when you pray, because I'll lead the prayer often yes. if I don't have any penitence after the Mass, yes. but the night before, it depends on who's doing. But the guys that were praying were, you know, it was like they were yelling at God, you know. And I said, "Listen, you don't have to yell at God. God has big ears; He can hear everything." You know, so.
And then it was beautiful at the end when we sang. Everybody sang "Salve Regina."
Yeah, and right. The, yes, yeah, because your father led it.
Yeah,
you guys led it. Yeah, yeah, it was very beautiful.
But it's a beautiful, beautiful hymn to the Blessed Mother, being October, the month of
right,
the Rosary.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it was very good. Okay, we're gonna take a break because I'm gonna be obedient to Eliu. You know, I'm very, you'll discover that I'm not very obedient, you know, to be honest. And here we are 19 minutes into the show. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We will pray. We've got to pray. We always do them, but we really have to want to pray for peace. This is just a horrible, horrible situation. Very sad. It's going to escalate, I'm afraid, into something really, really big and bad. So we want to pray. All right, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Here is an update on the Fulton Sheen petition.
We Catholics stand just inches from the goal line to have the saint we desperately need now, Venerable Fulton Sheen, publicly declared blessed. Yet new obstacles keep arising to delay this from happening. The Diocese of Peoria is now requiring the unanimous support of the U.S. bishops behind the beatification of Fulton Sheen before a new date is set for the ceremonial Mass. This has never been necessary in the Church's history. The Fulton Sheen Movement's petition drive to set a new date soon for Sheen's beatification Mass now has 10,000 Catholics from around the world clamoring for this. We need this voice magnified by hundreds of thousands more Catholics. And you can help us do that. Take action. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com and sign the petition and share it everywhere, because everyone agrees we need Blessed Fulton Sheen now more than ever.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony here with Tony. Tony finally made it. You made it.
Yeah.
You were a little late, but that's
don't,
okay.
Don't ask me how I got in.
Okay, Christine.
Don't ask me.
But let's do prayer. And I want to do a decade of the rosary and a decade of the chaplet for the peace, certainly in the Middle East and in Israel, and really peace throughout the world. You know, Our Lady asks that we pray for conversion, for peace, and gosh, have we heeded the call? I don't think so, because we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now if we had. And in so many ways, she's tried to warn us. She's not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. And that was the other thing that I wanted to emphasize with the New York Times, is that, you know, what's happened is it seems like the church is becoming so horizontal, so humanistic. But there's a void when it comes to the supernatural, the mystical. And we're, by nature, we are the mystical body of Christ. And so there needs to be we need to balance this out, you know. So because if we're in relationship with God and open to the inner working of the Spirit, infused with the Spirit of God, then we're naturally going to be serving humanity. We cannot not but serve our brothers and sisters. Even to suggest, almost as if, you know, the church has never been a church for the poor, or even with the whole thing with women. I probably mentioned this before too, but you know, in what other institution have women left their countries and gone to other countries, faraway places, and built hospitals and orphanages and schools? You know, so I think I feel like I'm repeating the show we had the other day, but I think it's important
to keep that in mind, to hear this.
You know,
yes.
Absolutely. But let's do pray for peace and for conversion and for peace and for all those who are really experiencing an Armageddon. And I saw photos of just the destruction. You know, it's horrific.
And the stories of the families, what they're going through, what they went through.
Even the hostages, or even I was reading this morning that they believe that some of them may have been buried alive. This is just beyond anything
we can imagine.
So let us pray indeed. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And we pray for the synod on synodality underway in the Vatican. Lord Jesus Christ, O God and Savior, you are the head of the church, your spotless bride and mystical body. Look mercifully upon the profound distress in which our Holy Mother Church has been subjected, the doctrinal confusion, moral abominations, liturgical abuses have in our day reached an unprecedented height. The heathens have come into your inheritance, having defiled your holy temple and laid Jerusalem in ruins, quoting Psalm 79. Churchmen who have lost the true faith and become promoters of a worldly globalist agenda are intent on changing your truths and commandments, the divine constitution of the church and the apostolic tradition. O Lord, with humble spirit and contrite heart, we beseech you, prevent the enemies of the church from exulting in a victory over the authentic Catholic Church obtained by imposing a counterfeit church under the guise of synodality. Stir up your power, O Lord. Come to the aid of your church with your mighty, almighty strength. For where sin and apostasy in the church abounds, the victory of your grace will abound the more. We firmly believe that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. In this hour, in which our beloved and holy mother church is suffering her Golgotha, we promise to remain with her. Graciously accept our interior and exterior sufferings, which we humbly offer in union with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother of the Church, as a reparation for our own sins and for the sins of sacrilege and apostasy within the church. O Lord, send forth your holy angels under the command of St. Michael the Archangel to bring your heavenly light to the Pope and Synod participants and to frustrate the plans of your enemies within the Synod assembly. O Lord, look mercifully upon the little ones in the church. Look upon the hidden souls who sacrifice themselves for the church. Look upon all the tears, the sighs, and supplications of the true children of the church. And through the merits of the Immaculate Heart of your most holy Mother, arise, O Lord, and by your intervention, grant your church holy shepherds who, imitating your example, will give their lives for you and your sheep. O Lord, we beseech you, through the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us a holy Pope zealous in promoting and defending the Catholic faith. We implore you, grant it. Through the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us holy and intrepid bishops. We implore you, grant it. Through the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us holy priests who are men of God. We implore you, grant it. In you, O Lord, we rest our hope. Let us never be put to shame. To you, O Lord Jesus Christ, be given all honor and glory in your holy church. You live and reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Holy Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Very good. You know, I can tell you that this prayer, there people will object to this prayer, but this reflects sacred scripture.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it boggles the mind, you know, cherry picking or picking and choosing what's soft, what's comfortable. But the whole of scripture is reflective of the spiritual battle, and that comes from without and comes from within. And so we have to always be on guard, always praying for the Pope and for the bishops and for the priests and for parents and, you know, for everybody really. But those who are taken from among the people to shepherd the people according to the heart of God. Jesus said, didn't he say to Peter, I pray for you, you have to pray for your brothers, because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. Again, when Paul left Ephesus, he said, you know, I'm to the priests, he says, I'm leaving you with a clean conscience because I did not withhold from you the full counsel of God, but you have to know that wolves are coming from within, from without, as well as from within, to divide and destroy you. And so we have a mandate to pray, to intercede on behalf of those who are taken from among the people to shepherd us. You know, as I was telling this Ruth from the New York Times, you know, yes, we're not naive. I look back into history, we can see the dark ages or the dark times or the skeletons in the closet, whatever it might be. But, you know, we don't fixate on that. We don't, you know, one of the apostles betrayed Jesus, Judas Iscariot. We don't fixate on Judas Iscariot. We never hear about him, but from time to time, and certainly during Holy Week when he goes into action and Satan enters him and he goes and he sells the Lord out. Other than that, that's the one time a year that, you know, we're really, there's 3 days where where he comes into the story in a very prominent way. But that's not our personal reference is Jesus Christ and the beauty, the wonder of God as he raises up the saints in every generation to confound the wise of this world. That's why I mentioned at the Mass and in the interview that it's not the Synod on Synodality that's going to reform the church. It's the little people, the humble people, the unaween, those on their knees, bending their knees at the name of Jesus, interceding on behalf of others, those who are indifferent, those who are hostile to God, those who are trying to safeguard and protect their families, trying to put food on the table. That's why I love the reading. Wasn't that an appropriate reading on Tuesday? Because it was Martha and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I kept saying Ruth. I said, Ruth, these are the, during the day, these people are Marthas. They've been in the work. They've been about the work. And now they come and they're Mary. And I also had, you know,
for the men.
For the sake of the men. I said, during the day, they're Paul, who was all over the place, everywhere.
Tony Paul.
Paul, right. But they come now, John, the beloved John, you know, mm-hmm. who is truly the mystic of the, I truly believe he was the real mystic of the apostles, because his gospel is so imbued with that mysticism, that bringing you into a very, very deep understanding of the person of Jesus Christ. So the men, they come as John, and he was also there at the foot of the cross. He's the only one who didn't flee in the during the time of the Passion, but he was there right up to the end. So anyway, I thought that was the readings were very appropriate
very
for the
appropriate.
Day. So it was very nice.
All right, the way the Spirit works. Huh? The way the Spirit works.
No doubt. No doubt. Because I was a bit, and now I let it go, you know, because again, yeah. I don't know what's going to come of it. But I just said, please, I said at the end, right, just say something nice, you know, whatever. Say something yeah. nice, you know, don't get me in trouble. Wow, you just have to be so prudent, you know, and I pray for prudence, you know, but one has to be prudent. But we got to speak to the truth. We've got to speak to the truth. We're going to take a break, even though Eliu has not, but I can see it in your eyes, you know, so we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stan's Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, let's see. Where do I want to go? Well, let me just, I made all these copious notes because in preparation for this, again, this is your hearing things that I'm always talking about, but I really, you know, again, prudence. This is, I'm speaking about the interview with New York Times, and again, nothing may come of it. There may not be an article. It may be just that there's one sentence that I might have spoken, and she also went to another parish. Considered were more tradition, another parish that was considered more progressive. So exactly what, but she was very, very, she really was very, very kind. And it was, I felt extremely comfortable speaking. And I felt comfortable because I just shared with the notes, and not that I even had the notes in front of me, but the day before, Monday before, so I had the interview on Tuesday. So the Monday before, what am I going to say? What am I, you know, how am I going to deal with it? Because I've got my opinions about a lot of things, you know, and I don't want to get in the way.
But I laugh because you always worry about these things, and then you just open your mouth.
Because I get in trouble.
You know.
Because I get myself in trouble, you know. And sometimes
right.
it's, you know,
it's all there. It's just it flows.
So I sat down in the chapel and I just started writing, and I wrote pages and pages in it. Mm-hmm. And then I put it aside, didn't go back to it because I was so busy. And wouldn't you know it, as we're in the interview, it just seems like it was just all right there.
Exactly.
You know?
It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Inspires.
We certainly hope. We hope and trust. I always pray not to get out of the way, but. But I just going to go through some of the, this is, as I sat down, I just wrote these notes, you know. And then at the end, I put on the top, apostasy. Mm-hmm. We are really going through an apostasy, and nobody can deny it because it's just everywhere evident, you know, statistically speaking. Apostasy is this going away from the faith. Mm-hmm. Just like those disciples who, when Jesus spoke about the Holy Eucharist, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they said, you know, this is intolerable, you know, who can admit this, you know, and he says, you know, he knew they were murmuring among themselves, and he can't answer the question because it's a profound mystery. He just repeated 5 or 6 times in John's gospel, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have life in you, life unto eternity. You've eaten, you've had your belly's full, you're going to die nonetheless, but you eat this food and you will not die. My body, my blood, eat and drink. And they said, we can no longer be in the company of this man. They walk away. So that was kind of like the first apostasy. Oh, there had been apostasies all along, you know, through the whole history of as God is revealing himself and preparing for the messianic hour and the messianic age. But we know at the end of time, there will be this major apostasy. I'm not saying we're definitely... It could be, it may not be, but we are going to an apostasy, a going away. So the point, I wanted to emphasize, just begin as I sat down. Oh yeah, we have what we need. We have the Bible, we have sacred tradition, with a big T. We have the deposit of faith, our dogmas, our doctrines, who define who God is and who we are in relation to God. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God doesn't change. He describes himself as a demanding God. He's not permissive, and we're living in a very permissive age. So we can't recreate God in our image and likeness or rewrite the laws of God. So he is demanding. He's not permissive, yet his greatest attribute is mercy. And yes, he comes not for the saint but for the sinner, not for the healthy but for the sick. Humility, which is the antithesis of pride, brings us to admit our sinfulness and sickness. We have disorder in our lives. People hate that word today. They don't like when you say that. But we have disorder. God is a God of order in a disordered world. We're called to a very high standard. Our faith is a discipline. No one has the authority to rewrite the laws of God or to recreate God in the image and likeness of man. The whole Bible is a sacred drama, a sacred story, and we are characters in the story, repeating what I just said a little while ago. The Father, God the Father is the only spectator in this sacred drama. Jesus is the principal character. There is the church triumphant, the suffering church undergoing a final purgation, those who need reparation for their sins, to be purged of inordinate attachments to this life, those who died in God's grace, yet hadn't made reparation or are inordinately attached to the things of this world. And then there's the church militant, the church in the battle. That's us. Jesus is always faithful, even if we are unfaithful. But if knowing him, we deny him, he says he will deny us because he has to respect our freedom. Otherwise, it wouldn't be love. Jesus is God in the flesh who came to atone for our sins, to make expiation, to offer himself as the Lamb of Sacrifice. He is the supreme high priest offering himself as a holocaust to save us, redeem us from our slavery to sin and death. And again, I don't know if I write this, but again, I did mention her that this is what's central to our worship of God is the holy sacrifice, the perpetuation of the Messianic hour. We enter into that sacrifice. We give of ourselves. We try to hold nothing back. Our point of reference in history is the Messianic hour, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We are living now in the Messianic age, and we will celebrate the sacred mysteries, the Holy Eucharist, until he comes at the end of time. We're not condemned to be here forever, but destined to share fully in God's kingdom. And ours is not a flight from the world, but a commitment to life in this world. We're in the trenches, and we must proclaim Christ crucified, died, and risen in season and out of season, when convenient, when inconvenient, and certainly we're in an out-of-season, inconvenient time, which is a great time, really, to be Christians, right, to be Catholics, you know, because it's the time of martyrs, really. If it's, the saints often spoke, certainly I think St. Louis de Montfort spoke of the white martyrdom, you know, not that we're going to perhaps shed blood, but there are people throughout the world who are dying because of their faith in Christ. We bear his truth, and we will be persecuted for it. Hated on account of his name. If we belong to him, the world will not accept us as its own. This is right from the lips of our Lord. The last words he spoke in this world after he instituted the Holy Eucharist, in his farewell discourse, his very last words before his high priestly prayer, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage, be at peace. I've conquered the world. He and he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. He's not one God among many gods. He's not to be equated or diminished or reduced to being one among many. He is God incarnate who came to save us, redeem us. The commandments, they're binding on all people for all time. Again, going back to Deuteronomy, obey, fulfill, love the law, prove yourselves, and to be wise, intelligent, knowledgeable, noble, graceful, dignified people, you will be the envy of all people. And just having said that, I often ask, you know, when God looks into our nation, what does he see? What does he see? We have enemies. We're in a spiritual battle. Who are those enemies? The world that does not acknowledge God, the free reign of the flesh, which St. Paul says of its very nature will lust against the spirit, and of course the devil, who does seduce, does deceive, and he creates an illusion, and he's also the accuser. And so for ourselves, you know, we hold to orthodox faith. Everything that I've previously said, this is what we, you know, sinful as we are, you know, we humbly acknowledge we are sinners. As we begin the Mass, we acknowledge our sinner, that we're sinners before we receive Holy Communion. What do we say? But Lord, you're taking the words of the centurion, I am not worthy that you come under my roof. Say but only the word, and my soul shall be healed. So we hold to the Orthodox faith, the Catholic faith, the faith of our holy ancestors. And because of this, we're being today marginalized, pushed to the fringe, even canceled out, alienated. Rejected, called names, and I already mentioned that, you know, if you're holding, you know, you're, just clarify, please, because if you say, because I'm, we consider ourselves Orthodox Catholics, that means Catholics holding to the Orthodox faith, the faith of our ancestors, the apostolic tradition, the deposit of faith, the dogmas and the doctrines of the faith, which deepen over time, but they don't change. But because we hold to this, are we to be considered rigid, backwards, hiding some sickness, demented? Are we not open to the surprise of the Spirit? Again, repeated so often that you begin to think, you know, somebody knows what that surprise is, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't keep repeating it. It's been repeated. That's, everybody repeats it. Everybody, so, not everybody, but so many. I keep hearing it, it's not just from the Holy Father, but cardinals and bishops, and it's a funny how they tote the party line, you know? Got to be open to the surprise of the Spirit. Well,
what is that?
Somebody knows what that surprise is, you know? The Spirit's been acting all along, you know, from the very beginning. The Holy Father wants a church with a new face, but what would that face look like? You know? And if it's a face other than the face of the crucified, beaten, bloodied, and bruised Jesus, then it would be a fraud. He's the wounded healer. Yeah, so it's the face of the crucified and risen Lord, the Lamb of God who comes, a lamb alive but wounded, right? Mm-hmm. Should I just keep going up to the end? Okay, yeah. I realize we're coming to the end. You know, again, as I mentioned at the beginning, I think at the beginning of the show, this seemingly pure humanism, humanistic humanism, horizontal, seemingly characterizes the kind of narrative of the church today, void of the church's supernatural and mystical character. Which is why it seems like it's a church that is only self-referential, navel gazing. So we're all going to sit around a table. Really, that's why we pray that there's some really wise and deeply imbued prelates and priests and lay people there that are really infused with the Spirit of God. And I know they're there, but let them not be shouted down or canceled out, but this navel gazing. No, we got and we've got to preach repentance, make disciples of all nations. That's what Jesus said, right? I mean, that was his mandate, the missionary mandate. Preach repentance from sin, make disciples of all nations. Disciples of whom? Disciples of Christ. So to speak against that is to completely it's completely to disregard the gospel message, the whole of Scripture from the beginning to the end. Repentance, conversion, metanoia, purgation, transformation, sanctification. If we want the Holy Father, when he speaks of, he wants a new church, not a new church, a different church with a new face. If it's a holy face, then yes. But again, as I say, it's got to be Jesus crucified, died, and risen. He didn't die for naught, And that's why when we go to Mass, that's why the holy sacrifice has to be central. Because we acknowledge before the Father that, yes, we bend our knees at the name of Jesus. The Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save. And how did he save? But he laid down his life. He took our sins to himself. He who didn't sin became sin. He didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer. And if we don't acknowledge that gratefully before the Father, then they were taking pictures at the Mass, and so they had to see all our people kneeling for communion. And I know, because there's a bishop in Idaho, I believe it is, I was just reading the other day, that that people are not to kneel for Holy Communion. They're to receive only on the hand. And I believe that he wants no kneelers, no altar rail. He wants that out of all that there should be none of that.
I don't understand. What could be behind?
And no ad audience.
Right. Why would you make these restrictions like this?
It boggles the mind because, again, when you see, the people on their knees, there's no rush. You're along the altar rail. You've got the reverence. I tell you, the first time, I've said this before, but the first time we restored the altar rail, mm-hmm. And everybody kneeled. My first thought, I was blown away. Two things. Number one, I thought of those 30 or 33 Ethiopian martyrs who were beheaded on the shore of the sea in Libya, I think it was. Because there was everybody kneeling side by side. But then I thought of the universality of the church and the what would how would you say it? the just people side by side, shoulder to shoulder, you know, waiting, on their knees, waiting with reverence. And so there's no rush. You have time to kind of even there, shoulder to shoulder with your brother and sister, to prepare to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, and you don't even have to rush away, you know? The reverence, why would we not want that? You ask a question, we do not collude with the powers and principalities of this world. There's a certain, yes, to be in dialogue with the world, but not to collude, not to sell out, not to accommodate or compromise the faith, you know, in order to appease the world. That's what brought Jesus to his death, right? The leaders of the church colluding with the Romans, the government, the two colluding together brought Jesus to his atoning death.
History does repeat itself.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
We're to be light, to be salt, to be leaven. Humility, we must have humility to confound the wise of this world. Must have humility to confound the wise of this world. So those are basically, as we come to the very end of the show, I think that's my last page. Oh, yeah, I got it. I covered it all. But that's it's kind of the, you know, I just sat down and just wrote all that, and I think that was basically the substance of the interview. So whatever comes of it, you know, and I ask you to pray, you know, that there's a voice given to those who really love God, love the faith, and they just want to, you know, save themselves and their children while they're in the trenches fighting the good fight, committed to life because we know where we're going. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.